Well, morning, church. It's good to be together this morning. We're excited because this week we begin a new series, take us into Easter and through Easter over the next several weeks. And as we get to this series, we have decided to call it Living Free. And we're excited about this for two specific reasons. One, we're excited because of what it means for us as a church, what it means for us as a body. As we get to go over the next couple of weeks, we get to remind ourselves, be encouraged, but even come to be strengthened together. What does it mean to truly live in the freedom and the victory that we have as followers of Christ because of Jesus' death and resurrection? How do we begin to experience that and live that fully the way God's created us to? But even more than that, there's also something else that we're excited about. We're excited about because as he began to share about this, there are people that we know that God has called us to reach out to. God has called us to invite you to give them an idea, a taste of the Jesus. Because the truth is we have neighbors, we have family, coworkers, classmates, friends who do not know the freedom that awaits them in Jesus Christ. They don't know what we know. They don't have what we have. And so we want to, as a church, take this serious, not just to help us walk in that freedom with more power and more victory, but truly to reach out to those around us and to help them walk in that same freedom, to help them walk in that same victory as they encounter Jesus and meet him and surrender their lives to him. So I want to encourage you, as he just said, take advantage of this time. We want to encourage you, invite people to Easter. Invite them to come. This is a time where you probably don't have to give too much explanation and someone will be like, okay, yeah, it's Easter. I guess I'll go with you. And it's our hope as they come in on the next Sunday, building from what we've started today, but even going through the next several weeks, we don't just invite them to Easter, but say, you want to come back? There's more. There's something even greater, something that I know I'm excited to experience, and I want you to experience this as well. What it really means to begin to live free life to the fullest, like many of us and maybe never fully known yet. And so what we're doing this week is we're beginning to set the table for the series, to begin to look forward and say, okay, what are these things that God has given us? What does it look like to begin to live and walk in the freedom that we have in Christ and Jesus? And what we want to realize, though, before we begin to live and walk in those freedoms, begin to move forward toward what God has on us, for us more and more, we need to recognize something. We need to maybe just have an honest conversation to understand, where are we right now? How are we doing at living in victory? How are we doing at living and walking, living free, living in the freedom that he has called us to? And that's where we want to start this morning. As many of you might know, today is Palm Sunday. And if you think back, if you know the story that took place on Palm Sunday that we celebrate on the church calendar this time of year, it's a week before Easter. The week before all the events that take place around Good Friday and Easter. And in this week, Jesus and his disciples start to come into Jerusalem, the capital city. And yet this is very unique, unlike he's ever walked through this city before. He comes riding on a donkey. And then it says that as he was walking through the gates into the city, that the people began to gather and they began to celebrate. We even might know this if you've seen this before. The people began to throw their cloaks and throw branches down on the ground and they, or wave them in the air. They would say, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And as they would raise those, can you imagine what it must have been like to be the disciples? Those that have been following Jesus for the last several years, seeing his miracles, hearing his teaching, they got to be going, it's finally happening. They're starting to see the Messiah. They're starting to realize he's come, and now he's coming into the capital city. This must be it. Something is about to happen. Victory is coming. The kingdom is coming. And yet at the end of that party, people just kind of dispersed. They just kind of went back. Real life took over again. And then things began to happen. And in that moment, I would say that the disciples, the followers of Jesus, had no clue what was going to happen. Coming out of that week, we come into Jesus being arrested. Jesus being tried and beaten and tortured. And eventually the same one that marched through the gates as they shouted Hosanna, as they saw this victory begin to happen, was executed. And the truth is, I think our Christian life can often feel this way. We often can feel this battle where we're expecting freedom. We've surrendered our life to follow Jesus. I have a new life, new victory over sin. And now I begin to walk in this life, and I've been set free to live for Jesus. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. It's like that triumphal entry. And then real life hits. And you may find yourself sometimes saying, it's not going exactly the way I expected it to. This isn't what I thought fully was going to be like. I know it's good, but I thought it was going to be different. And you might even be wrestling with knowing what Jesus has done. You might say, I know I am free, but I'm just not sure I feel free. I know I am free, but I'm just not sure I feel free. And maybe you find yourself echoing what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He says this, for I don't even understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. And Paul is giving us just a glimpse into his own battle. He's a follower of Christ. He loves Jesus. He says, this is what I want to do. Yet he gives us an understanding into his own battle with the desires of sin and what sin desires to do and the war that's going on within him. Anybody is giving us a first glimpse of what it would look like or could or should look like for us if we're followers of Christ. And it gives us the first glimpse of what I want. See, we may need to ask this tough question. If we're going to ask this morning, where really are we in experiencing victory or living free? We may need to ask that question, do I really want to do what's right? That's a tough question to ask. Because maybe even you've grown up in the church. Maybe you've been going to church a lot of your life. Maybe you've said a prayer. Maybe you've been in Bible studies. But the truth is, you don't really want to do what's right. I mean, you want to know Jesus because you want to go to heaven, but you're not sure you really even want to know what's right. You might say, I love Jesus, but the truth is, and hear me as I say this, is to say, I love Jesus, but not really care to do what he wants. We miss the very thing that Paul is beginning to describe to us, and that's not love. And I don't say that for any condemnation. I say that because of what we said this morning. To begin to understand how to live in freedom, we need to know where we're at in this moment. And so the truth is, if you find yourself maybe one of those that doesn't even want to do what's right, that doesn't want to do what God asks of us as his children, as his family, you may want to say, I wonder if I've really ever surrendered my life to Christ. Because I think we need to understand all that Paul is saying in this, because it matters. It matters not just for now, but it matters as we begin to walk through this series over the next several weeks and we begin to try to understand. Because he says, he still admits he wants to do what was right. He wants to follow Jesus. And I bet we can echo with that. And then he says, but it doesn't always seem to happen that way. He describes the sin in us. The sin that's still in us and the battle with that sin because of what the sin wants. And maybe you can look back over your Christian life and you look back over time and you might say, well, I once felt really free. I once felt like I was seeing victory. Something was happening. Things were changing. But now things aren't quite like they were. And they're not quite happening the way I thought they were going to happen. And maybe you might even say, I'm not sure if I even feel free anymore. In fact, you might even look around and think, it seems like these other Christians, it seems like the rest of them, they've got it figured out. It seems like they don't seem to be wrestling or fighting the way I seem to be fighting. You look around and you say, they seem to be more free than me. Or you look and you say, well, I mean, things are pretty good, but there's this one thing in my life and I can't seem to find victory. I can't seem to get that one done. I can't seem to win. It still seems to have power or control over me. How come no one else seems to have one of those things? And we look and we think that somehow we're different. And then we begin to even wrestle with this idea. We might even say, and what if they knew? What if they knew? But I'm not sure I can ever let anybody else know. Because yes, we are made to be free. We were made to live and freedom to be alive in Christ Jesus. In fact, in the same verses surrounding where Paul said, I don't seem to do what I want, and around those same verses, he also reminds us of what Christ actually did, of the freedom that we have in Christ to be alive in Christ Jesus. But it just doesn't seem to go that way. And like the triumphal entry, things seem like they were going one way, or may have these ups and downs in our Christian life where, man, we're going, it seems like so good, and all of a sudden, boom, things just crash. And it's not the victory that we thought we are going to be living in. And you might even honestly say, this isn't quite looking like I thought it would. And church, I want you to hear this. This is what we believe that God wants to help us begin to talk about and walk through as a church. These are real, honest conversations, real struggles, real things that we may battle with. But to get to real freedom, we have to be honest about the real battle. To experience living free the way God's called us to, we have to get honest. And yes, we see what Christ has done, and we know what he's died for and rose again for. We know what we can experience with him, and yet, not as we thought it would be. Because the truth is, there's still sin in our life. We still sin. And maybe just this morning we can begin to get a little more honest about that, or maybe even begin to take off the mask that we were wearing long before COVID ever hit and begin to be honest about what's really going on in our lives, in our Christian lives. Because 1 John 1:8 says this, if we say we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. We say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. Let's get real. Sin is there. And over the next few weeks, we want to talk about that reality. But not just talk about that it's there, but talk about, so what does it mean? What has God given us to begin to experience freedom fully the way he has designed us to? But sometimes we just got to start with just admitting to ourselves. Maybe we just have to say it out loud. I still sin. And then when we realize sin is still in our lives, and maybe in a way that we never expected it to be when we chose to follow Christ, and now we got to choose how we're going to respond to that sin. And I think there's two ways that we end up responding to sin in our lives. And the first one is, I think we end up going with the I'm fine approach. I'm fine. Well sure, I struggle sometimes, code word to minimize sin. Sure, I've had a rough week or a rough day. It's been rough this month, try to make it not as big of a deal. But I'm fine. I have Jesus. I know what I need to say. And in that idea, as we live in almost that state of denial, we end up, what we do is we propagate this idea that we are just living so much healthier than we are, living freer than we really are, living more righteously. We almost have this self-righteous now identity that we just have to keep holding on to. And I want to tell you and be completely honest with you, in my own 25 years of Christianity, this has been my battle. As I find myself confronting something God wants to deal with me in my life, an area of sin, this is how I tend to want to respond. Man, I just like that, no, it's fine. It's not as there as it really is. And what it does is, in that denial, instead of confronting the sin that has me entangled, it's just that approach and that response keeps me trapped. And then there's another response that you may be familiar with, and you may be wrestling with both of these, but the other response we tend to have is, we see the reality of our sin. We see what's going on. Instead of denial, we can go to the far other side of it, and all of a sudden, we just live overwhelmed with shame, with guilt, with condemnation. What's wrong with me? Why am I so bad? I mean, what must God think? I'm so unworthy. What would others think? This is not the way this is supposed to be. I can't even come to God. I mean, look what I've done. I've told him I'm sorry so many times. And what would others think if they knew? And as I shared that that first struggle is where I find myself lying in denial, I have permission to tell you this. But my wife, who was leading worship this morning, would come and tell you she falls more on this other side, where she can get into that spiral of just feeling guilt and shame, self-condemnation.
what's wrong with her? And both of these battles, both of these responses to sin, neither of them are what God designed for us. In fact, both of them hold us captive to the very sin we wish we could find freedom from. And we stay captive to these things and we can't seem to break out of it any longer. And so because of all these things and the way that they hold us, we can't be honest enough with where we're really at. We can't be honest enough with what we're wrestling with. And again, this is what we want to begin to get honest with over the next several weeks. Talk about the things that keep us here. Because in the middle of both of these spirals, denial or shame or guilt, middle of all of this, we end up living in the lies of the enemy of our God. The lies that Satan and his demons want to continually whisper and speak to us. Because even though, for those that are followers of Christ, even if he has lost our soul and we belong to the family of Jesus, even though that might occur, Satan, he's not done. He may not be able to have your soul, but he wants to steal the life that God has made for you to experience in Christ in this life on earth. He still wants to try to rob from your life and from the kingdom of God and all that God has created for us to do and experience in relationship with him. Jesus describes it like this in John 10. He says, a thief, the enemy, he comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. 1 Peter 5:8 describes this, and it says, the enemy of ours, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. And if we're honest with that, as we begin to understand what scriptures begin to unfold for us, we realize that the place that he seeks to devour us is actually in the battlefield of our mind. So we tend to think it's about the things we're actually doing that we're struggling with, that we can't seem to find victory in. But truth be told, those aren't the things that hold us captive. It's actually the things that we believe that hold us captive. That's what these things are. They become the strongholds of the mind. These are the lies that hold us captive. And you can see how the Apostle Paul describes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at this. He says, for although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. So even though we've experienced freedom, we're still have this battle with the flesh that we still live in, but we do not wage war according to the way the flesh would want to do it, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God, through the demolition of strongholds. So he says, we demolish strongholds and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Look how he describes this battlefield of mind. He describes these strongholds right here, the arguments, the knowledge, our thoughts, what we think and what we believe and how those things come out of us. What we hold on to and how that's truly the battlefield. The spiritual battle is not being fought in trying to fix this over here, this behavior or this act or even this specific sin. The spiritual battle is being fought. The actual battlefield is the battlefield of the mind. That's where we have to begin to counter that. But the truth is, but we try to do it the other way. Have you found yourself there? I know I have. We try to go after it the other way. We try to do the very opposite of what Paul says. We try to start with behavioral change first. What we end up doing is them creating all these things that we think we can do that might fix our sin. Self-disciplines. If I just take care of this thing, or I just change this thing over here, or if I just change this part of my life right here, then if I just address all these behavior things around me, then maybe I'll start to feel free. And we miss that the battle, the war, is actually not in these behaviors, but in our mind before those behaviors ever come out of us. But even if we go with the mind, we also tend to approach this where we try to tell ourselves, if I can just think through this enough, if I can just figure this out on my own, figure out what it is that makes me want to do this, or I can just come up with enough logic, enough strategy. Because if I approach this from a very logical standpoint and I keep my emotions out of it and I can just be really logical, then somehow it will make sense to me. And if it doesn't make sense to my logic, then that can't possibly be right. And what we do is, as we begin to try to battle it in these ways, we realize that this is not God's weapon. This is not the powerful way that he's called us to fight. Instead, we begin to realize these are our weapons. These are weapons of the flesh that Paul says we are not called to fight with or to battle with. And that's where the enemy will keep attacking us. Because the truth is, we have deep things in us. Our sin is not just there for no reason. Symptoms in us, things that we think, things that we believe, lies that we've held inside of us that we don't even maybe know we even have, and they hold us captive. And they may even sound spiritual, but they're not God. And we keep coming back to those things, somehow thinking, if I could just do it a little bit more, if I can work a little harder, if I can just think through this enough, maybe today will be different. Maybe this week will be different. And the truth is, we don't know how to fight the way God has called us to fight. We don't even know for sure how to take these thought captives, to use the knowledge of God, to just demolish the strongholds of these sins in our lives that seem to keep holding us captive and keep us from living free. In a few weeks, we're going to go after that directly to begin to wrestle with that. How do we begin to fight the real spiritual battle? But this morning, there's one spiritual battle, though, I want us to talk about. I might say it's the foundation of all the other battles. It's one lie that Satan keeps trying to keep us to believe. And if we believe this one, it'll hold us captive. And it's a great lie that keeps us in denial, it keeps us hiding, it keeps us fighting alone, and it tells us that we must do this alone. And whether you want to admit it or not, because I'll admit it in front of you, that is a lie that I find myself believing more than I will ever care to want to admit. I guess I got to just do this alone. I got to figure this out. I got to make this happen. And what I have found when I approach it in this way, that I've just got to do this on my own, I do two things. I deny the very power of Christ that gave me new life to begin with. The very thing that gave me life originally made me dead to sin, the dead to the power of sin, so I could live free, alive in Christ Jesus. When I think I'm doing this on my own, I deny first Christ and his power and all that he wants to do in my life. And then secondly, I also end up denying each other. I deny you. I deny the fact that God has made us a church family and that we are in need of each other. And that we are meant to not do this alone. We are meant to fight this in relationship with Christ. And as I deny my first family, I miss it. I miss the power of Christ and our community together. And if Satan can keep me believing that lie, hear this, if he can keep me, if he can keep you believing the lie somehow that before you can really expose who you are, you've got to keep it a secret. You got to do this alone. You got to get up to this point at least before others can start to know, because every one of us is already here. So at least get there to that point. If he can keep us thinking and believing that, then he keeps us captive to sin. He comes to steal and kill and destroy, begins to win. And we miss the abundant life. We miss living free the way Christ designed us to experience with him. And so there's two things I want to share with you this morning. Beginning things that will overflow into everything else we begin to do over the next many weeks. And the first thing is that in order to battle this lie, in order to be real and to begin to experience freedom, we have to start with confessing. And we have to come to a place of confessing to Christ. 1 John 1:9 says this. If we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just. Think about this for a moment, church. He already knows. Have you ever been there? You've got yourself convinced. Like, if I just don't tell him, maybe it's not as big of a deal. But I can't come to you and tell him, because what will he think of me? Church, he already knows every thought, every motive, feeling, every win, every loss, every success, and every failure. He already knows. And so what keeps us? Why hide? Why not come to him and begin with this beautiful, simple command to confess our sins to him, because he is faithful, he is righteous, he is just, he will forgive us of our sins because of what Jesus did on the cross. And see, confession is really at the heart of beginning to walk in everything that we've talked today. Because what it does is confession is how we get honest. Confession is how we get real. When I verbally admit where I am at, when I verbally admit what I've done, there's a level of humility and brokenness. I can't pretend it's not there anymore. I can't pretend I'm fine. I get real and I begin to confess. And what it does, it deals with truth. Confession is how we begin to counter the lies the enemy wants to keep growing at us, the way he wants to devour us in our mind. And confession is a weapon to begin to say, I won't believe the lies anymore, because he is faithful and just. It is not to just come before God every day and say, I'm just a terrible, terrible person. How could you ever love me? Oh my goodness, why would you ever want anything to do with me? No, that's what we're talking about. We're saying, God, I know you love me and that you have called me to confess because you are faithful even when I am unfaithful. And so I can come to you, I can pour my heart out and get honest and real, and don't fill it all with all these Christian words that just make us sound super spiritual. Just get real with our Heavenly Father, because we can approach his throne with confidence because of what Jesus has done. And you can confess because he is faithful. And then the other way we begin to counter the slide, we begin to fight, begin to walk in freedom. The other way is we not only confess to our Heavenly Father, but we confess our sins to each other. James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins to one another. But don't just confess, pray for one another so that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. You hear that? The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. So confess and pray. And I want you to realize this. And when we come to James and it tells us to confess our sins to one another, this is just as much of a command as we read in 1 John 1:9. When he says confess your sins to Christ, he is faithful to forgive you. That is a command of how to begin to walk in freedom. And when he says to us, confess your sins to one another, that is also a command from Christ to begin to walk in freedom. We can't just pick the one that makes us most comfortable. We can't pick the easiest one. And I will be the first to tell you, it is way easier to confess to Jesus. Because in my heart of hearts, I might know, okay, so he's stuck with me. Right? You been there? Like, I know he's not going to fully reject me. I don't know what's going to happen if I get real after that. But the truth is, to walk in living free, to begin to experience that, we have to confess our sins to Christ, and we have to begin to walk in the second thing he tells us to confess to another and pray. Why? So that we may be healed. We can start to experience physical and spiritual freedom. Healing that comes with the power of Jesus. This is where we find the power in living free. Because we have to remember, it's not just, and this is one of the lies that he also can tell us, it's not just Jesus and me. It's Jesus and me and all of you. It's not just Jesus and me. It's Jesus and me and all of you. We are in this together. To quote Tammy DeLau, she says this all the time, we are better together. And this is the beginning, because remember this, a soldier is never sent into the battlefield alone. Ecclesiastes even reminds us that. You probably heard this like at every wedding you've ever been to, right? Two are better than what? Two are better than, say it out loud, right here. One, two are better than one. Because when you have to fight, you get back to back and you can find victory. You cannot fight this alone. We cannot fight it apart from Jesus and getting real with him. And we cannot fight it apart from each other and getting real with each other. And you've heard me say this a lot, but I gotta say it because this is why we have grow groups at Bethany. Church, this is why we believe so much in small groups within us as a church, because it is very easy in here to hide. It's easy to wear our masks. And in here, we can't fully live out these things of both confessing sin and each other the way we need to. And so we are so encouraged, because truthfully, knowing so many of our church, so much of our church is in grow groups, even those that maybe aren't here on Sunday morning, but are watching us online right now, a lot of you are in grow groups too. And we know what God is going to begin to do is more about what he's going to begin to do in our grow groups as we get real, as we talk about this, as we begin to wrestle honestly with these type of things, with our spiritual life, with living free. More will happen there than what happens here on Sunday morning. Sure, God will begin something. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not in a grow group, if you don't feel like you have a we and us in this together, we want to find that for you. When you're done here, please head out to Starting Point, to Next Steps, and let us try and help you find a community so we can begin to walk this together, grow together, begin to experience what it's like to live free together. Because this is the beginning of the series. This is the beginning. We're not going to just see everything resolved today. The battle is not won in one day. The battle is not won in one message. It's not won in one confession. It's not won in one service. But as we walk this life together, passionately following and seeking Christ together, we can begin to walk together in the freedom that he's had in Christ. And as we said, we're not all in the same place, but we all have the same need. We don't all have the same struggle, but it's the same things that God has given us to help us walk this life in freedom in our various struggles. And that's what we want to begin to do together as a church. So I want to close this morning and just start with this foundation. We just got to start with God. I know that might seem so simple and so Christian, but it's not just with God. It begins with our knowledge of God, as Paul said. What do we believe about God? Do you believe that he invites you to fight this with him? Do you believe that he's calling you to begin to walk in freedom, to live free with him? Do you believe that he is powerful? Do you believe that he is faithful? There's a scripture that's a scripture of hope that might be something to echo and remind ourselves throughout this whole series. Paul wrote this also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And he says, remember, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. I want you to hear that. No temptation has overtaken us except what is common to all of us. We're not alone. But God is faithful, even when I am unfaithful. And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so that you are able to bear it. Do you see how much of that is about God? God is faithful. God, he will not allow. He will provide. So in what God does, then we can bear it together. But let's start with who God is in just a moment. The worship team is going to come out. They're going to sing a song. It might be newer to some of you. And that's okay. You don't have to sing this one yet this morning. It will come back later on in the series. But I want to just read to you the chorus of the song, because it's a song of hope, a song of honesty. To get real with where we might be at in our Christian life. And it says this. So I throw all my cares before you. My doubts and my fears don't scare you. God, you are bigger than I thought you were. You're bigger than I thought. So I stop all negotiations with the God of all creation, because he is bigger than I thought he was. God, you're bigger than I thought you were. Would you bow your heads with me, church? And as we come into this moment of response, I wanted to ask you to commit to something this morning. As I said, there's not one victory in one day, one service in one time, but we believe that God is calling us for some one time, but we believe and we're passionately excited about seeing what God wants to do in each and every one of our lives together as a church, to experience freedom the way maybe we've never experienced it before, to walk in it like we've never walked in before. So I want to ask you, one, would you commit to walking this series together. To just be willing to come to God and say, God, I might be struggling with this. I might be scared a little bit, but I'm willing to commit. I'm willing to walk this. You might just say, God, you know my brokenness, but I don't want to stay here any longer. God, you know the lies I believe, but I don't want to believe them any longer. You might even say, I'm not sure all that I need to do, and that's okay because we're not there yet. But I'm willing to walk there with my church family. We're willing to passionately pursue Christ, passionately seek freedom together. Lord Jesus, we are your church. And Lord, we come to offer ourselves to you. God, you are faithful when we are not. You are at work when we can't see it. You will provide a way. Lord, when there seems to be no other way. Lord, help us to begin with you this morning, with your power, recognizing that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive within each and every one. God, continue a work this morning. Those here, those at home watching, as we get together on Easter, as even those that haven't even experienced that freedom come, help us be praying for those. And God, we want to see your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I'll be in the back. Myself, Pastor Thad, maybe a few others. If you'd like to pray, just begin to just ask for prayer. If you're not ready to say anything yet, but just want prayer, we'll pray for you. If you want to share some things, we'll listen. And let's begin to come to Christ. Do this together this morning.